This is your life, episode 41.
This is your life. Are you who you wanna be? This is your life. Are you who you wanna be? This is your life. Is everything you dreamed it would be when the world was younger and you had everything?
Hello and welcome to this episode of This Is Your Life. My name is Michael Hyatt, and this is the podcast dedicated to intentional leadership. My goal is to help you live with more passion, work with greater focus, and lead with extraordinary influence. In this episode, I'll be talking about seven steps to take before you quit your job. You know what's going to eventually happen. You'll quit your job and go on to take another one, and maybe you're in the midst of this right now or considering it. Regardless, I want to share with you how to finish well and set yourself up for future success. But first, this podcast is brought to you by Platform University, an online membership site for helping you launch your personal platform or take it to the next level. You can find out more at platformuniversity.com, and I'll tell you a little bit more about it at the end of this podcast, so stay tuned. But let's get right into this episode. Face it, you will eventually quit your job. It may be this year, it may be next year, it may be 10 years from now, I don't know. But it's inevitable. It's only a matter of time. The only real question is how to do it in a way that doesn't burn your bridges. You never know. You may want to come back, and at the very least, you may need a reference. Let me tell you a story. My first job in publishing was as a telephone sales rep, and my job was to call on pastors and sell them sets of commentaries. That was way back in the late 70s. But during this time, the country went into a severe recession, not unlike the recent one for us. But one Friday, my boss laid off six of our 12 sales reps. Fortunately, I was not one of them. But get this, one guy was so furious at being laid off that he trashed his office when he moved out. He emptied everything from his file cabinet onto the floor. No reason for it, he just did it. He even emptied his trash onto the floor. There were papers, garbage, everywhere. And when the rest of us saw it, we were stunned. We thought it was, you know, incredibly stupid, but hey, you know, we didn't think we'd ever see him again. Now, fast forward 2 years. I had just applied for another job in the same company as the marketing director for the book division. This was a huge step up. It would be a great job, and I was really hoping to get it. The position reported directly to the VP of sales and marketing, and he had narrowed down the candidates to just two, me and the other sales rep who had left the company in a huff. Well, then at the last minute, as the VP was checking references, surprise, he spoke with our telephone sales supervisor, and he told the VP he would not hire that guy back under any conditions. Why? Because of the way he had left. Now, here's the deal. How you leave a job says way more about your character than how you start. Starting's the easy part. Finishing well is the difficult part. And as my story illustrates, it can become a huge obstacle in the future if you don't leave well. People don't forget. And worse, they talk. The key to leaving well is to begin with the end in mind, as Dr. Stephen Covey taught us in The 7 Habits of Highly Successful People. So when I left as the CEO of Thomas Nelson, I started with the outcome in mind. And I think as leaders, we have to be intentional about everything we do, even quitting. So I started with the outcome I wanted, and here's how I defined it. I said, I literally wrote this down, I want the owners, who were my employers, I want the owners and my fellow employees to celebrate my contributions, grieve my departure, and eagerly welcome me back if that opportunity ever makes sense. And so what I want to share with you in this episode is this. Before you turn in your resignation or even begin looking for another job, let me suggest that you consider the following seven actions. Action number one, determine to exit with dignity and honor. This is really where it starts. It's really all about a decision. You really can leave on a good note, and it can be a positive experience for everyone. But you've got to take the moral high ground. Don't speak ill of your supervisor, your coworkers, or the company. It only makes you look small and petty. And it's amazing how negative comments have a way of spreading and moving up the org chart. It's a small world, and the industry you're working in is smaller still. You'll never know when you may be working for someone you're working with now. You never know when you may want to come back. So leave the door open. When I was the CEO at Thomas Nelson, I always got a report on how someone left the company. I was just naturally curious. I was eager to find out, make sure they were treated well and all the rest, but I wanted to know how they responded. It totally influenced whether or not I would write them a letter of recommendation later or agree to be a reference. So it makes a difference. Action number one, you've got to determine to exit with dignity and honor. Action number two, count the cost of leaving your present job. Someone once said, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence, but sometimes we forget it still has to be mowed. How true. I was talking with a young pastor the other day, and he was really frustrated with his board. They just don't get it, he complained. And he was already in dialogue with another church about leaving his current post and becoming their pastor. Well, I listened to him for about 20 minutes, and then I said, look, I'm not saying you shouldn't go, but don't kid yourself. The same knuckleheaded elders are at that church too. In fact, they're at every church. Could this be an opportunity for you to grow in your leadership by staying? What would become possible for you in the future if you learn to lead these very kind of people? The truth is, every job has its pluses and minuses. Even for me, in what I often refer to as my dream job, there are days I would give anything to go back to the corporate world. And then I remember what it was like. I had plenty of bad days there too. So the key is to be realistic. And to me, it's more important to be going towards something rather than moving away from something. So action number two is to count the cost of leaving your present job. Action number three, give your employer a chance to address your issues. You need to be careful about identifying what the real issues are. Is the problem your current job? You know, maybe you're just not suited for it. You don't have a passion for it. You're not interested in it. Maybe it's your boss. And if you switch to supervisors, it could be a completely different story. Or maybe it's a coworker or the system. Maybe it is the whole company. But if you don't tell your supervisor, he or she doesn't have the opportunity to address it and fix it. Now, that may not be possible in every situation. They may not be able to fix it, even if they know what it is. But unless you give them a chance, you'll never know. You might just be surprised at how different your experience can be once your key issues are addressed. And so I would encourage you, don't even think about leaving till you've done that. If you can work it out, great. If you can't work it out, then make sure you give your employer ample time to find a replacement and plan for a smooth transition. So action number three, give your employer a chance to address your issues. Action number four, honor your commitments to your current employer. Whether you have an employment contract or not, you have a duty of loyalty. And this means that you're expected to provide an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. So don't grow slack in your work or let things fall through the cracks. You want to turn your position over to your successor in tip-top shape. The last thing you want is your successor to say, no wonder she left. It's a miracle she wasn't fired. She left with a mess. Like it or not, your successor will be the primary steward of your reputation at the company you leave. And you want her to say, wow, she left some big shoes to fill. If I can do the job half as well as she did, I'll be a success. Or, she left everything in great shape. The files were well organized. I knew the status of every project. The transition was seamless. So action number four, honor your commitments to your current employer. Action number five, don't look for another job on company time or with company email. In essence, this is stealing. Your employer is paying you to work for him or her. Your time, at least during working hours, belongs to him. He provides you with an email account to use for company business. It doesn't belong to you. Get a personal email account for that. And worse, everything you ever send or receive via company email is retained for years, even if you delete it locally. You don't have the right to privacy when you're using someone else's property, like an email address that doesn't belong to you. There is no right to privacy in terms of that. And this has been proven over and over again in the courts. But this includes complaints about your boss or coworkers, discussions with prospective employers or competitors, fights with your spouse, everything. This can all be part of email, and believe me, it can come back to bite you. When I was at Thomas Nelson, we had a man who left the company in a, shall we say, less than honorable way. And someone suggested to me that he had conspired with one of our competitors prior to leaving the company. So I turned it over to HR and I suggested that we check his email messages and find out whether or not that was valid. So our HR team combed through more than 10,000 email messages. They found a mountain of evidence. All I can say is that it was very, very damning and it had very serious consequences for him and unfortunately for his family. So action number five, don't look for another job on company time or with company email. Be smart. Action number six, don't share proprietary information with prospective employers. I mean, this should be obvious. It's a simple matter of honesty. Company data, reports, contacts, etc., are assets of the company. They're not yours. Using them for your own benefit is no different than stealing physical property. And providing them to a prospective employer is worse than theft. It's treason. And as an employer myself, I would instantly break off discussions with any prospective employee if they volunteered to give me information from their present employer. They may think that they were acting to entice me to hire them. What they were really doing is revealing that they had no moral compass whatsoever. They're not the kind of people I want infecting my corporate culture. And I was quick to get out of those negotiations, those discussions, because that person had completely and utterly disqualified themselves for working from working for my company. So even if you don't have an employment agreement with a confidentiality provision in it, act as though you do. No one wants a cheat, a tell-all, or a gossip. At least no one I would want to work for, and I'll bet no one you would want to work for either. So keep things in confidence. Be the kind of person who is trustworthy. Action number seven, the final action. Don't conspire with others to leave the company. In 1986, Robert Wagamuth and I were working at Thomas Nelson. We ended up starting a new publishing company called Wagamuth and Hyatt Publishers. We left the company within weeks of one another, but we did not discuss going into business prior to our departure. We just didn't do it. We wanted to be able to say with integrity that we had not left with plans to start something together. But I've seen others take a different path, and usually with disastrous consequences. Look, you want your current employer rooting for you. You want them to bless you when you go out. You want to be able to use them as a reference. And if you're any good at your job, your employer will hate losing you. But if you attempt to take other employees with you, especially good employees, it'll only add insult to injury, and more than likely, it will burn a bridge that you may well need later. You've got to see life as a very interconnected thing. What goes around comes around. You never know when you may be working for that person again, working for another person in the organization again, and your reputation is critical, and you've got to guard it. Your reputation is so important, and you can make a difference in how you're perceived, not only when you're at a company, but as you leave a company and how you're remembered inside of that company. So in conclusion, if you're determined to quit, then don't discuss your decision with other employees until you've discussed it with your supervisor. And to me, this is a simple matter of respect. The last thing you want is for him or her to hear it through the grapevine. So with a little planning, anyone can make a graceful exit. Life is short, the world is small and cold, and you don't need to create any unnecessary enemies. You've already made an investment in your job. Now make one in your career. Think of the future, keep the end in mind, and you'll be fine. So with that, let's get to some listener questions. The first one comes from Amy.
Hi, Michael. This is Amy Anderson. I live in Eastern Oklahoma. I've rarely left a job without another one waiting. I'd like to hear your advice about leaving a difficult situation even without something else already available. Thanks.
Amy, I have rarely done that myself. Whenever I've left a job, I've always had something else lined up. And I think that's optimal. It's much easier to get a job if you have a job. And for those of you who have been unemployed, you know what I'm talking about, because especially in the kind of economic turmoil that we have right now, where a lot of people are out of work, a lot of employers just unfortunately kind of stigmatize unemployment and look at it unfavorably and give the preference to someone who already has a job. They just, I guess, assume that if you've been laid off, that somehow you're the cause of that. If you were really good, the company would have kept you. And I know that's not true, but I'm telling you, that's how employers often think. So much better to have something else lined up. However, there are exceptions, and I don't know your situation, but if it were me, and if I were being asked to compromise my morals or my integrity, then I would leave whether I had something or not. Or if it was an abusive situation and I felt like that it was just out of control and that it was becoming toxic to me and to my own psyche, then I would quit as well. Only you could be the judge of this. I would just do it thoughtfully and be aware that it's going to be more difficult to find a job. But sometimes that's preferable to stay in an abusive situation or a situation in which you have to compromise your integrity or ask to compromise your integrity in some way. The next question comes from Christopher.
Hi, Michael. My name is Christopher Scott, and I'm calling from Turlock, California. I blog at ChristopherScottBlog.com. And my question for your upcoming podcast about how to quit a job is, what are your thoughts about telling your job you might be quitting in the future? So maybe you're not going to give them 2 weeks' notice, but you're going to thinking about quitting, you know, over a summer or after Christmas. Do you tell your job that you plan on quitting 2 or 3 or 6 months ahead just to give them a heads up, or do you wait until 2 weeks and give them an official notice? So curious to your thoughts and really appreciate the podcast. Thanks.
Christopher, I really believe in the golden rule, which means that you do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And in this particular situation, I would think about it from the employer's perspective. How would he want to know? Would he want to know months in advance or whenever you're planning to leave? I think in most cases, yes. And while I would go to the employer and I would let them know, I would not announce it to my peers or my subordinates until I had worked out in detail with my supervisor when would be the optimal time to do that for the sake of the organization and for my effectiveness in the current job. Because sometimes if you announce that too early, then you're kind of seen as a lame duck and you're written off and you lose your effectiveness. So I wouldn't want to do that. But on the other hand, and I've had this situation happen many times, if you announce it to the supervisor, you know, weeks or months in advance, you can work creatively towards an outcome that is beneficial for both of you. You get the benefit sometimes of being able to look for another job while you're on the current job with your existing employer's blessing, and you're able to find a successor and really have a smooth transition to the next person or the person who takes on your role once you're gone. So it can be a great thing for both parties. I think, unless it's somebody you just don't trust, or you've have some reason to believe that there's going to be some retribution or there's going to be an overreaction on your part, then I would share it with them. And when in doubt, I'd give them the benefit of the doubt. I've never personally been in a situation where that was abused. I know there are those situations out there, but I think it can work to both of your benefits to go ahead and let your current employer know, give them a heads up so that you can work it out in a way that's mutually beneficial to you both. The next question comes from Heman.
Hello, Michael. I'm Heman Smith. I'm just launching my platform at simplicityiq.com. I create strategic products and services at my current company, but when I exit, I want to use the same concepts in my own in a non-competitive industry. How do I leave without causing misunderstandings or concerns about intellectual property rights?
Heman, this may not be the answer you want, but I think the only way to handle that so there's not a misunderstanding later is to go ahead and have that discussion now. What you don't want to do is end up in a conflict, or worse, end up in a lawsuit over this issue. And companies get into lawsuits all the time to protect their intellectual property. So it may not seem like it's competitive to you, but you don't know your employer's intention. He may, in fact, have an intention of going into that industry segment. And if he doesn't, it probably won't be an issue. But again, I think you have to approach it from his or her perspective and just say, look, I am thinking about going into another industry segment. I want to use some of these concepts that I helped develop. I don't think it's going to be competitive, but I want to talk to you about it first and make sure that we have an understanding. And I would get some kind of agreement, not only a oral agreement or a verbal agreement, but I would get something in writing as to what you can or cannot do. If you don't do that, it's liable to be misunderstood later. Or what if the person that you have that oral agreement with goes away? Maybe they get fired, maybe they die, maybe they leave the company for whatever reason, and their successor has no recollection or no record of this discussion and this agreement with you, and then they come after you. So as difficult as it is, it's going to be a lot easier to have that discussion now and get clear on it. And, you know, it's not always easy, but I found that when I approach the person who has the intellectual property, they feel respected and they're willing to have that discussion. And I just had this happen with regard to the Get Noticed theme that we're developing, a WordPress theme and a trademark that somebody else already had on Get Noticed. We didn't feel like we're going to be in violation because we wanted to get it trademarked under a completely different category, but he felt like it was a conflict. And I thought, you know, I don't really want to go to court and try to figure this out. Litigation's expensive. I'm not sure we're going to get the answer we're looking for. I would much rather honor and respect him, try to get it worked out, ask for his permission. And if he gives it, if we're able to work out a what's called a concurrent use agreement, great. Then we can go our way. He can go his. He will have felt honored and respected. I will feel like we've had the right discussion, and I have the confidence that I can move forward without constantly looking over my shoulder, wondering if somebody was going to come after me. And so we had that discussion, and it worked out just great. But I chose, and I've learned this through hard experience, to have the conversation on the front end. The next question comes from Jeff.
Hey Michael, my name is Jeff Jones. My website is jeffdrummer.com. In regard to quitting with dignity, after more than 13 years, I recently resigned as drummer with the band Big Daddy Weave to pursue public speaking and writing. I found the most important thing when resigning from my position was that I must focus on where I'm headed and not on the past. This is vital for forward movement in achieving your future goals. Michael, can you elaborate on how that played out in your life during your recent transition at Thomas Nelson?
Jeff, first of all, I totally agree with you. I think you've got to be focused on what you're going toward and not what you're leaving. And I'm just future focused anyway. And I want to complete the past. I want to resolve anything that's in the past, but I want to be able to move forward and really be focused on that. And so in my discussions with the board at Thomas Nelson, we just had a really candid discussion and we talked about the outcome. What do we want? We want a smooth transition. We want the best person we can find to succeed me. I want to be cooperative in the process. I want to help find that person. I want to hand the ball to them. I don't want to fumble. And oh, by the way, when it happens, I want to get out of the way so that I don't become an encumbrance or an obstacle as that person takes leadership or takes the helm of the company. And so that's exactly what happened. It was a multi-month process. I felt respected in the process. I think the board felt respected in the process. We ended up with the best possible candidate, I'm convinced, and Mark is still running the company and doing a great job for Thomas Nelson and for the current board. But that was just something that I wanted because I had invested years at Thomas Nelson. I had a legacy there that I wanted to protect, and I wanted to be remembered in a way that was positive. And even in my exit, I wanted to be remembered well. And I've got a terrific relationship with everybody at the company because I was focused on the future and what I was going toward and not what I was leaving. And I was focused on how I wanted to leave and not about anything else. So yeah, I agree with you. I think that's exactly what you've got to do. And again, focusing on the outcome is what makes that possible. The last question comes from Wayne.
Hi, Michael. Wayne Henderson here in Yucaipa, California at MediaVoiceOvers.com. I'm building up my after-hours voice acting, podcasting, and related services career, but since I'm almost 50, I can hardly wait for the day to be able to do this full-time and leave my day job. However, I am a bit wary of too many folks in management at my day job knowing where my true passions are. Should I worry about how much I post on Twitter and Facebook about how badly I want to pursue voice acting on a full-time basis? Thanks, Michael.
Wayne, this is a great question. And yes, I think you should be wary of posting too much on Twitter and Facebook about this, unless you have a discussion with your supervisor and with management first so that they're clear and not creating a narrative in their own mind that doesn't exist in yours. I mean, you might as well get it out there on the table or wait until later to get out there on Twitter or Facebook. You know, if you're going to be transparent on Twitter, why not be transparent with management? If you're not going to be transparent with management, you can't be, and I know there are situations where you can't be, then don't go out there on Twitter and Facebook, because just assume it's going to get back to them. In fact, that's basically my policy on any social media posting, is that whatever I'm posting about is going to get back to the people I'm posting about. And so I want to be careful. I want to be honoring of them, so that if they were to read that, they wouldn't be insulted or frustrated or angry at me. And I want to represent it in a way that is, again, honoring of them. So I would have that discussion with them, or refrain from posting it on social media. And you can do that all when you get into your new career, which would be awesome. So let me just leave you with this question. What has been your experience when quitting a job? What did you do well? What did you do not so well? And how will next time be different? So to comment on this episode, go to my blog at michaelhyatt.com/041, as in episode 41. And just three quick announcements before we wrap it up today. First of all, Platform University is going great. As I told you last week, we now have about 1,300 members. And if you haven't done so yet, please check it out at platformuniversity.com. It's only $25 a month, less than a dollar a day. I think it's a tremendous value. We've got lots of great content coming, and you don't want to miss it if you're serious about building a platform. And also, the members-only discussion forum is one of the best benefits that we offer. You can pose questions, learn from the other members, and offer up your own success stories. And I also participate in that as I have time. So it does give you access to me in a way that you wouldn't have otherwise. Second announcement, the Get Noticed theme, which I mentioned briefly in the episode, is still in private beta. Things are progressing well, albeit a little slower than we had hoped. We've not yet announced a release date. The software's basically done, but we've gotten bottlenecked on a few items. First of all, the name. As I mentioned earlier, we discovered someone else had a trademark on Get Noticed, all one word. However, the owner of the mark very graciously gave us permission to use a variation of it in our own theme. So now it's officially the Get Noticed theme, three separate words, Get Noticed theme. The second issue has been the sales page. I need to wireframe the website, write the sales copy, and I'm going to get to that next week. I have an entire day blocked off to do so, but I had to get through the platform conference in order to find the bandwidth to actually do that. So please, please, thank you for your patience. I really wish we could get this to the market faster, but I promise it's going to be worth the wait. I am really pleased with how it's shaping up. Third announcement, as I'm recording this, we're about to kick off the platform conference. And as you're listening to this, we've already wrapped it up or are just about to do so, depending on when you're listening to this, but we're completely sold out. And the good news is that we've just put tickets on sale for the next platform conference. It'll be November the 3rd through the 5th, 2013, in Dallas, Texas. We wanted to pick a location that was centrally located and that was easy to get into and out of, and Dallas certainly meets that criteria. We haven't yet announced the speaker lineup. However, many this year's speakers will be returning. We're in a dialogue with a few others as well, and it's going to be awesome, I promise. So if you're thinking about coming, I urge you to decide quickly, especially if you're interested in the master's level student package, which is the one that sold out first, actually within just a couple of hours when we opened up registration for this first platform conference. We're just going to take 10 people into the master's level. And you'll eat every group meal with me while at the conference. You'll also participate in a special reception with just you, the speakers, and your fellow master level students. And there's a bunch of other benefits besides. But you can find out more and register today at platformconference.tv. Finally, my next podcast will be on the fine art of delegation. I can't wait to talk about this topic because I get a lot of questions about it every week via email. But I'll talk about how to do it, when not to do it, and what to do if you don't have anyone working for you. So if you have a question about this topic, please leave me a voicemail message at michaelhyatt.com/podcast question. This is a terrific way to cross-promote your blog or website, because I'll link to it just as I did with the callers in this episode. Well, that's about it for this episode of This Is Your Life. I'd also be grateful if you would rate my podcast on iTunes. This helps tremendously with keeping my podcast visible so people who have never heard it can discover it. And that's happening every week. So thank you. If you'd like to comment on this episode, please go to michaelhyatt.com Go to the show notes for this episode and scroll down to the comments section. I'd love to hear from you, just your feedback, a comment, a question, whatever. But until next time, remember, your life is a gift. Now go make it count.
This is your life. Are you who you want to be? This is your life.